Q1.
No other country in the world does what we do. We do these things because they help promote our long-term security. And we do them because we believe in the inherent dignity and equality of every human being, regardless of race or religion, creed or sexual orientation. And next week, the world will see one expression of that commitment when Team USA marches the red, white, and blue into the Olympic Stadium and brings home the gold.
All right.
USA, 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 USA.
Yeah, right? That, of course, President Obama during the State of the Union address. Now, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of disappointment in this community, if you've been reading all the big papers, if you're reading Washington Blade, if you read Metro Weekly, all these guys, pretty much all saying the same thing. Big disappointment. No mention of ENDA. No mention of the federal executive order. I mean, he's all about his executive orders, isn't he? If Congress doesn't act, I will. And, you know, he's all about that. But, you know, well, if you're LGBT, oh, sorry, didn't mean you. Yeah, we meant, you know, those folks over there, the people that we're going to need for the election this year, they're in a more lucrative demographic than you are. So sad, sorry, but they're going to get the executive order, and you're going to get the back of the hand like you've been getting for the last 5 years. Rah, rah, go Obama, hope and change, kiss my ass. I mean, seriously, okay? This is like, I'm just so fucking frustrated with this guy. I mean, because you know what? It reaches a point. It reaches a point. And I said this actually on Facebook earlier, a couple days ago. I think Mara Kiesling posted something. I posted it. And, you know, you get past a point where it's like, you know, the first time it happens, you're, well, he had other things to talk about. The second time, you're like, well, it's kind of disappointing, but, you know, hopefully next year. The third time, you're like, well, you know, gee, shouldn't he really by now be doing it? And, wow, isn't it disappointing that he didn't? The fourth time was like, now I'm really annoyed and disappointed. Okay, now it's the fifth time. All right, look, I'm pissed now. I'm pissed off, okay? I've gone into from disappointment and, oh, gee, you know what? Fuck you, dude. What the hell? You can't mention us once in five fucking years? What is your problem, and why the hell should we trust you? I mean, seriously, look at the record here. Don't ask, don't tell. Doesn't reflect trans people. Trans people still excluded from military service, right? The Defense of Marriage Act, well, maybe if you're lucky, that might have affected you. Maybe not, but, you know, big deal. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, big deal. As far as, I'm talking from a trans perspective here. I'm not talking about people who want to get married, all right? So don't send me nasty letters. I'm talking about trans folks. What are trans folks interested in? Let's be honest, okay? You know what you're interested in. You know it's the same thing that I'm interested in. Fucking jobs. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. For 5 years now, this guy has been making the same promise, you know, asking us to bang our heads into the same wall. And yet, when they had the opportunity, when the Democrats had everything that they said that they needed in 2009, in the 111th Congress, 2009 to 2010, when they had everything they wanted, well, you know, then they got nothing to say. Oh, yeah, well, you know, now that there's no chance that this is going anywhere, now that Boehner has just reiterated yet again that there is no chance that ENDA will be brought up for a vote, now that they know that this is going nowhere, that's what, oh, look at us, we're all lining up behind workplace rights now, rah, 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 send us money, send us votes, aren't we wonderful? Well, no, because if you were really wonderful, if you were really behind this, you would have done all this shit in 2009. So don't come back to me 5 years later, 5 years late, and try and say, aren't we wonderful? Aren't we great? Because we know it's bullshit. What you're doing here is what we know you're doing. I mean, because you did it. I mean, we watched you do it on television, people. I mean, you know, this isn't the 1960s. We have internet connections. We have televisions. We have iPads. We know when you're lying to us. We can check these things. I mean, it's just so frustrating. I mean, did anybody watch the 2012 DNC convention speeches? Did you see one, even one of these guys, Obama and Clinton and this one and that one and all these guys, did you see one of them mention workplace rights? No, it was all about marriage, 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 marriage. And then they come back to you when they need your money and your votes. Oh, yeah, we were with you all along. I mean, this is the part that makes me apoplectic. Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot. Don't talk to me like I don't have any long-term memory. Don't talk to me like I don't remember what happened 2 years ago. I mean, seriously, do you really think we're that stupid? Turns his back, Obama turns his back on ENDA, turns his back on the executive order, turns his back on trans in the military, turns his back on the exclusion, on preventing the exclusion of trans health care from the Affordable Care Act, which for trans people is still the Unaffordable Care Act, because the shit that's left out is going to cost you a hell of a lot of money. So it's really, for trans people, it's the Unaffordable Care Act. It's the straight people feel good and while you fuck over the little guy care act. Okay, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe that's unfair. But you know what? As a trans person, I don't think it is. I think what they did was the same thing that these Democrats do all the time. They said, well, you know what? It's more important that we pass it for everyone else because those are the people with the money. And we fuck over trans people in order to get this passed. Not a problem. Who are they going to vote for anyway? I mean, you saw it in New York with Sonda. You saw it. I mean, you know, that's the attitude. Nobody gives a shit about us. If they gave a shit about us, they'd make a point to include us, and they don't. We're a bargaining chip to be traded away the minute things get a little rough. It's what Barney Frank tried to do. And you know what? When Barney Frank tried to use us as a bargaining chip in 2007, this community responded and prevented that from happening. I think it's time that we started that again. It's like, oh, hello, Democratic legislator. You're here stumping for our money and votes. Well, before you get ours, we're going to ask you about why you refuse to stand up for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Why you haven't, you know, where are you? And we're going to keep showing up. And, you know, when President Obama makes an appearance, well, who's to say what happens on Twitter right afterwards? You know, I mean, to their credit, I mean, you got the Human Rights Campaign came out. Chad Griffin came out with a, you know, a very sternly worded statement that, you know, he was really miffed and you know, bent out of sorts that the president didn't do, you know what I mean? It was one of those kind of statements, you know. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it's the Human Rights Campaign. They're all a bunch of fucking... I don't want to go there. But, you know, you just kind of, one day you wish, like, somebody would, like, shove a firecracker up Chad Griffin's ass and say, for God's sakes, act like an activist! Stop acting like you work for a PR company and start acting like you work for an advocacy organization. That's what I want to say to him. It's what I want to say to Ray Carey, too, you know? I mean, I'm not a big fan of Ray Carey, honestly. Okay? And the reason I'm not a big fan of Ray Carey is because she's so low-key. She's so, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. And this just enraged me. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I guess, Ray Carey publishes an article on Huffington Post. And she calls the Senate vote on ENDA last year, she calls it a victory. And I wrote a response. It was basically like, victory? What victory? Who won? What was won here? I mean, are you serious? What victory? Who is better off as a result of this vote? You know, and these people, it's like, yeah, sure, call it a victory, Ray Carey. Yeah, give the United States Congress all the applause and all the positive attention that they're craving so that then they go and focus on something else. Because, you know, that's the way to get politicians to really work on your issues, to give them everything they want up front while they're doing nothing. This is not a victory. This is a joke. This is 5 years too late. This is yet another example of a spineless and impotent Democratic Party that needs to be replaced with people who understand that the little guy is the one who needs the help, not your corporate supplicants. Like the Human Rights Campaign and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, okay? We don't need marriage. We need food and shelter, people. Wake the fuck up. I mean, seriously. Make sure people can eat and have a warm place to stay at night. Then you can worry about the fucking deck parties. Then you can worry about saving money on your taxes. But while there are fucking people who are starving in the street because they are gay or trans, do not talk to me about marriage. First, you cover the basics, food and shelter. Because without food and without shelter, there is no life. And with no life, there is nothing. There is no marriage. There is nothing. So do not lecture me on how important marriage is, when somebody is still looking to feed their family, when someone is still figuring out how they're going to pay the rent this week, when somebody is chased out of a store with a baseball bat because they're visibly queer. Do not talk to me about marriage when that is happening. And certainly do not talk to me about marriage when you are talking to me in or about a state that does not protect me from that kind of behavior. Do not. Because you know what? I support marriage as much as anybody. Believe me, I do. I really do. But not at the expense of food and shelter. Food and shelter have to come first. And you see, that's the problem with the Human Rights Campaign and these folks. They live in this DC bubble. You know, I know a lot of people are going off to Creating Change. It's like, is it just me? Or does it seem like the only thing that NGLTF does these days is Creating Change? I mean, do they actually do anything anymore? Or are they just, like, there? Because, I mean, they have this limp noodle, you know, non-leader, Ray Carey. And I know that there are good people working for this organization. I'm not trying to disparage them or their work. But what are they doing? How come we never hear from them? How come they never, I mean, the only thing that we ever hear about that they're involved with is this fucking annual conference. You know, I mean, it's great to go and talk among yourselves for a while. Believe me, I know, I do it. I'm going to do it next month. I'm going to do it in July, next in July. I mean, I'm not disputing that there's a value in those kind of meetings, and I value them myself. But you got to bring it home, and you got to do something with it. And I'm not seeing that from NGLTF. What do they do besides put on this conference? You know, I mean, that's what I want to know. What else do these people do? Where are they doing it? Who are they doing it with? Because, you know what? I don't see them making the paper. And this makes me nuts. You know, HRC, now you know, you guys know, I am the first one to call out HRC when I think they're doing the wrong thing. I mean, you know me. I do not pull punches when it comes to the human rights campaign at all, ever, in my entire career in media, ever, ever, ever. But I also try to be fair, and I also try to say, you know what? They're doing really well on this particular thing. Let's give them credit where credit is due. You know, and they have been. They've been much more proactive in getting statements out there. But you know what? They haven't been. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to see. Yeah, they come out. It's the same kind of thing as we saw. You know, they get the public statements out there. Where are the events? I mean, do you remember, like, when they were trying, you know, I mean, they've had so many events surrounding marriage, you know, and that's great. But where are the events surrounding employment rights? Where are the celebrities doing these full-color promos for workplace equality, like they had for marriage equality? Where are those? Where are those videos? Where's the kind of big budget effort? Okay, well, you know where that big budget effort is going, because recently HRC just announced, surprise, surprise, that their new advocacy goal is, wait for it, marriage in all 50 states. Yes, it was nice for a while, wasn't it? Yeah. So, here we go. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, but you know, I'll tell you, every time that HRC does something like this, I just, you know, there's a voice in the back of my mind that just goes, you guys just don't get it, do you? You just really do not have a clue what it's like to make less than six figures. You don't know what, it's the only thing I can conclude is that the people who are making the decisions, just have no concept of what it is to have to budget, to struggle to pay rent, to put food on the table, that these are people from such a privileged class that they're completely detached from the lives that most of us live, because if they weren't, they wouldn't be doing things that prove that detachment over and over and over and over. They might as well be waving a flag, you know, that has a big 1% right in the middle of that equal sign, because that's what it seems like to me. That these people, they're so rich, they're so privileged, they're so white. Yes, I'll say it. They just don't get it. They have neither the empathy nor the interest. It's kind of like the way most of us will look, and you hear about a story about, like, let's say Darfur. Now, you know, people are suffering greatly in Darfur. But how many people actually get up and do something about it? How many people donate money? How many people contact their congressman? How many people take a proactive step to help the people in Darfur? But yet they'll all, when the subject comes up, everybody will sit around, nod their heads gravely and say, oh, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I think that's kind of the same thing that's going on here, which is these folks at the Human Rights Campaign, when they talk about workplace rights, they nod their heads and say, oh, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And then they go on and focus on their own issues because they really don't care, because it's not an issue that impacts their lives at all in any way. They have all the money they need. They live in nice, wonderful homes. They are, live very privileged, wealthy lifestyles, and they don't have to worry about cash. So what do they worry about? Well, you know, they want to save money on taxes. They want marriage because marriage saves money on taxes because that's theirs. So that's where all the money goes. And these people just don't understand, well, what do we need this for? What do we need employment rights for? It's not affecting me. I mean, it's, you know, it's like the Rod Portman syndrome, who voted against the senator, who voted staunchly against everything LGBT until his son came out. And then all of a sudden he's voting for ENDA. He's voting to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know. You know, you know, in other words, basically the same thing that we call out the Republicans for, and you know what, Democrats are guilty of it too, but Republicans are particularly guilty of this, okay? You know, we call them out for saying, well, you know, they're not going to line up behind us until their own thing is affected. Well, you see the same thing in the marriage movement. Nobody's going to donate any money for workplace rights. It's all about marriage. Nobody gives a shit about the working class except the working class. I mean, we've seen that. President Obama certainly doesn't give a shit about us. He has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to voice his support, to use his weight as president, to use the bully pulpit. He's taken none of them in 5 years. I think after 5 years, you can say, this guy doesn't give a shit whether we live or die. Because if he did, he would have opened his mouth sometime in the last 5 years. I mean, seriously. And then here we go. Just wait. Here we go. April, May, June, July. Here come the Democrats. Aren't we wonderful? Aren't we great? Give us lots of money. Support our candidates. Rah, rah, because we're on your side. Right? Here they come. Don't look behind the curtain. Don't think about what we've done to you for the last 5 years. Just give us more money. And don't worry. We'll take care of you later. Really, we will. Trust us. After all, it's only been, what, 40 years? I mean, seriously, are we still taking these people seriously? It is time to start lopping heads, people. It is time to start primarying people with real progressives and basically making the case. You know what? If you're not going to do the hard work of making this a more equal and just country, then we are going to throw you out and replace you with people who will. It is time. It is this time for excuses is over. It's time to start lopping heads. It's the only way anything is going to change. You know what? The Tea Party got the right idea. Horrible policies, but the right idea. They weren't getting what they wanted from Republicans in Congress, so they started replacing them. That's what we have to do. Okay. Go along to get along kind of people like Pelosi. Psst, gotta go. Oh, and let's see. Mr. Mike is sending me a secret message. Beep, okay. Beep, beep. It looks like it is time for our first break. we've got Trevor from Coyote Grace, and we will be back with something interesting. Anyway, we'll catch you in five, gang.
Down into the middle of the party, and get the cool, make the happy. states, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, they shall surely put him to death. I brought the first stone, Mr. Webb, in case that your Bible talk isn't just a smokescreen for personal prejudices.
That's good.
Was great. Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. Pamela Raintree, who is a trans woman from Shreveport, Louisiana, and she basically walked into a council meeting, and that was confronted Councilman Ron Webb from Shreveport, who was the single dissenting vote against this ordinance. And he tried to repeal the law, and basically she made that statement, and the guy moved to withdraw. I thought that was so great. I mean, it was the perfect line.
It's good theater.
It really did, because it really strikes to the core of the bigotry. Really, you believe that your Bible calls on you to discriminate against me? Well, it says I should be put to death, so go ahead, put me to death. Right now, right here. If you believe that your Bible is really more important than the laws that the secular laws that we operate under as a society, here you go. Go and kill me because your Bible tells you to. I think that is the perfect, perfect counter. Okay, I would love to see 1,000 trans people with 1,000 stones walk in to 1,000 of these council meetings just like that. Really? You want to discriminate against me because the Bible says so? Well, the Bible says I've got to be put to death. Who's going to be first? Now, you have to be willing to accept the possibility that somebody's going to try and kill you. But if you do it in public enough place, I'd say there's probably a pretty safe bet that most people, even if they do want to murder you, probably not going to do it in front of witnesses. Call it a hunch. You know? Yeah, I know. Asking for trouble. Granted, I know. I know that's asking for it. But you know what? If you're going to fantasize, you might as well dream big, right? So kudos. I in the highest possible kudos I could offer. I don't know if there are kudo levels.
Level but 10.
She gets, yeah, Pamela Raintree, she gets my big award for doing a great thing today. I think that was totally, totally awesome. She had exactly the right attitude. And you know what? I think that's what it is. I think people have to go and say this, you know, that you have to confront the Bible. You know, the Bible says, you man shall not lie with man lest they be, put to death. Well, you know what? You got to test that. And that's what you got to do. I really do. You say, you think I should be put to death? When are you going to do it? If you believe in your Bible that strongly that you're going to ignore the secular laws that prohibit that, well, here I am. Of course, you got to be willing to accept the possibility that somebody's going to take you up on that. But nevertheless, I think it was a great tactic. Because here's the thing. Regardless of how much the religious zealots want to convince you that God intended blah, 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 of course, which is utter bullshit, because anybody who tells you they know the mind of God is a liar and a fraud to begin with. So in that, I put the entire Catholic Church, pretty much anyone in a collar. And, you know, I granted there are exceptions, but I think anybody who's telling you they know what God is thinking is a fraud and a huckster and a charlatan and should be roundly denounced for being a fraud. You know, I mean, seriously. And anybody who says, well, I can take this 2,000-year-old book and interpret it as application as how God wanted us to intend to apply it in the modern world. Really? Really? So, you know, you don't eat pork and you don't blend your fibers and, you know, crap like that. And, you know, I mean, it's utter bullshit. It points right at the hypocrisy of the entire Christian religion. We'll obey the laws that are convenient for us, but the ones that are inconvenient for you, those are the ones that we're going to demand be followed because God, because Jesus. You know what I mean? If it's inconvenient for us, like, you know, women being shunned while they're having menstruation, okay? Well, that's in the Bible too, but it's inconvenient for us, so we're going to just pretend it's not in there. Because it's inconvenient. What are we supposed to do? Mom has to pick up the kids at the school after this afternoon. We can't have that. We can't do that. We got PTA meeting tonight. Yeah, I mean, seriously. But yet, oh, well, you know, this thing about gays, oh, well, that we have to stick to and impose it in our laws because, well, it doesn't affect us. So, you know, it gives us the opportunity to aggrandize our own people like ourselves at the expense of others and makes us feel self-superior. So that's why we should say, well, this particular portion of the Bible, we're going to seek to impose, you know, the stuff about abortion, you know, well, because Jesus. Like, there's no real reason. It's just because Jesus. Oh, and you know, Jesus. I mean, seriously, okay? And the level of hypocrisy here is stunning. Okay? And that's why I say the entire Catholic Church and the entire Christian religion, basically, is hypocrisy. Well, for that matter, so is Judaism. I mean, I'm not singling out Christianity here, okay? And you could probably make the same argument about Islam, although I'm not enough knowledgeable about Islam to make that argument, so I'm not going to go there because I'm not qualified to make that argument, pro or con. But I think that's what you see. I think that's what Pamela Raintree's protest pointed up, was that these people who want to hold up the Bible as a reason for discriminating against others are not really using the Bible. They're not using it as a reason. They're using it as an excuse. And that is exactly what Pamela Raintree pointed out. Because if you really believed in the Bible, that absolutely the Bible is the word of God, well, why aren't Christians, these Bible-thumping Christians, out there trying to kill all the gays? Why? Well, because that would be illegal, and they would be put in prison for murder, as well they should. Because the secular laws of our country, the rules we live under as a society, do not permit one person to unjustly take the life of another person. And we don't consider religious belief to be a valid reason for that. Because why? Because saying, I killed this person because Jesus, is not a rational argument. And people understand that it's not a rational argument. And if it's not a rational argument to deprive someone of life, how is it then a rational argument to deprive someone of a job or a place to live? Or a drink in a bar, or a meal in a restaurant, or proper health care from your government. Okay? I mean, that's the thing. If you conclude that even though the Bible supposedly calls on people to kill gays, because that is what it says there. I mean, if you're translating that particular passage of Leviticus as a condemnation of homosexuality, which they seem to just do, well, if you are accepting that as the word of God, then why aren't you out in the street with stones or a gun or something trying to kill every gay person that you can find? I mean, that is what you're saying that God commands, right? But you're not out there. Why is that? Because you understand that religion is one thing And secular law, the rules we live under as a society, are not the same thing. They may coincide in terms of values. Thou shalt not kill. Well, yeah. We enshrine that particular value in our laws. And we put people in prison when they do kill unjustly. But we make exceptions to that rule, don't we? Every time we send somebody overseas with a gun to go to Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere, or Somalia or wherever they're going, thou shalt not kill. There's nothing after that sentence. There's no rule in the Bible that says thou shalt not kill unless the United States president decides to send you to another country to go fight his war. I mean, there's no thou shalt not kill unless. It's thou shalt not kill, but yet we ignore that. We ignore it all the time. We ignore it every time we put a prisoner to death. We ignore it every time we potentially ignore it every time we send a kid over to the Middle East to go fight for our country. We ignore it every time that we take a life, in whether it's by drone or by spy or by military or by whatever. We violate that first commandment constantly. Nobody seems to have a problem with that. Have you noticed that? The same people who are Bible-thumping and saying, we have to stop the gays, blah, 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 blah. Well, they don't seem to have a problem completely ignoring the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill. Or for that matter, how about the one that says, thou shalt not lie? Do you think the members of Congress respect that one? Do you think that every word that comes out of a Congress member's mouth is truthful? If you do, I have a bridge in Fort Lee to sell you. Yeah, good rates, honestly. I mean, really. So that's what it is. These people pick and choose. And it's interesting how the ones that they pick and choose what to follow is stuff that doesn't require anything from them. It only imposes restrictions on others. You see, because, you know, if the Catholic Church imposed these kind of restrictions on average people, on their own flock, well, then you would see what you're seeing now, which is the flock is ever shrinking. Because people are saying, you know what? I don't want to live my life like they did 2,000 years ago in a sandpit. I don't live in a sandpit 2,000 years ago. I live in suburban New Jersey, or I live in New York City, or I live in Los Angeles. I don't live in that world. We have modern medicine here. We understand that sickness is caused by biological causes that can be scientifically determined, not by demons. We understand these things because we have things that they didn't have 2,000 years ago when that book was written. Medical science. Academic institutions. You know, I mean, come on. We're talking about goat herders here. Seriously. I mean, whether or not Jesus or God, for that matter, is real is irrelevant. It does not reflect our lives. And if you can turn around and say, well, I don't care about the part that says don't eat pork, and I don't care about the part that says shun women when they're menstruating, and I don't care about the part that says I shouldn't wear blended clothes, and I don't care about the part that all these different things that it tells me I should do that inconvenience me, I'm going to ignore all that stuff. But the part that attacks you, the part that allows me to discriminate against you, that's the part of the Bible that I'm going to insist that you follow religiously. Pun intended. I mean, you see, that's, and to me, that's the whole fundamental problem. I mean, I was born, and most of you know, I was born Jewish. I was bar mitzvahed when I was 13. I haven't been a practicing Jew in, God, it's got to be 20, 30 years. I mean, the last time I was in a temple was when my little nephew, he's not so little anymore, I shouldn't say that. My nephew was bar mitzvahed a couple of years ago. And, well, maybe, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, something like that. You know, I mean, this is not something I do. It's not something that's very important in my life. I do it when it needs to be done. Yeah, I was actually, it's not true. I was in a chapel. I don't know what you'd call it, like a mini synagogue. It's like a tiny little place that, well, when they had a service for my dad recently passed. And so I was there, you know, but my father was also not a religious man. So, you know, our family was never, I mean, we got the Hebrew school when we were kids and, you know, did all that. But once we grew up, we really didn't follow through. Now, my brother, on the other hand, my youngest brother has two boys. In fact, both my younger full brothers have two boys each. The youngest is very involved. He's you know, his family, they keep kosher. Not what's called glatt kosher, which just means totally restrictive, and you know, but they do. They follow the basic rules and stuff. And you know, that's how they live, and that's what they prefer, and that's great. And you know, when we eat over their house, you're not allowed to have cheeseburgers. So, oh well, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just something that you know, they don't impose that on everyone else, but that's how they live. So we respect that when we go to their house. But they're certainly not, if we went out together and somebody ordered a cheeseburger, they're not gonna, you know, I mean, that's not, they're not gonna have a problem with that. That's how they choose to live their lives. And you see, that's the thing. I don't have a problem with anybody who says, I believe in the Bible, I want to live my life according to biblical values. I am the last person to say, you shouldn't do that or blah, blah. You know, I mean, I would not. But my issue comes in, like I think for most folks like me, my issue comes in when you seek, not when you say, these are values I live my life by. I fully support that. I think everybody is entitled to that right to say, this is me. This is how I want to live my life. And as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, leave me the fuck alone. I mean, seriously. And I think the same thing is true here. You know, I support everyone's right to live their life the way they choose. But you know what? When you try to impose those values on me, and on others who don't share those values, that's when I have a problem. Because you know what? I'm going to do it again. I do this. I find myself doing this all the time, and it gives me a headache every time I do it, but I'll do it. I'm going to quote Dick Cheney again. Freedom means freedom for everyone. Doesn't mean freedom for those you agree with. Doesn't mean freedom for those in your same religion. It doesn't mean freedom for those with the same color skin. It doesn't mean freedom for those with the same sexuality or gender identity. It means for everybody. And you can't have real freedom unless it applies to everyone.
Dick is a wonderful American.
Well, you know what? Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
That's right.
I mean, seriously, okay? I disagree with him on pretty much everything that comes out of the guy's mouth. But on this, he had exactly the right attitude. And you know something? The Republican Party, God help me, it's here, it's coming out of my mouth again, but it's the truth, could learn a lot from Dick Cheney, because he's got all these right-wing, really right-wing positions that nobody likes. But with this, it's like, you know what? This isn't important. This is it. It's an issue of freedom. Everybody's entitled to freedom. Let's move on. Smart man. I'll tell you something, if they followed that advice, if they said, you know what, screw it, let's just pass ENDA, and then let's take this issue off the table. I don't want to talk about gay people having civil rights anymore. I don't want to talk about trans people. So pass ENDA, it becomes law, and guess what? People stop talking about it. Think about it. How often do you hear somebody on television, except for this year, once, because it was the 50th anniversary, how often do you hear commentators on television or read in the newspaper stuff about the Civil Rights Act of 1964 directly referencing that bill? Not often, right? I mean, yeah, maybe occasionally some reference pops up, but basically there's no coverage of that bill. Why? Because it's a 50-year-old bill. You know, I mean, it was passed literally 50 years ago. So a couple weeks ago, they had some coverage of the fact that it was the 50th anniversary, and then you probably won't see that again until 75th or 100th. But don't you see, it's, you know, it, you get the bill passed, and once ENDA becomes law, yes, the people who need it will benefit from it. And let's not forget, most of the Fortune 500 companies already have substantially what ENDA already is already in ENDA. It's just a matter of it then becomes law. And if a company decides, well, we're going to just, and I've seen this, I've experienced this, where a company has a very strong anti-discrimination law and somebody in the chain of command says, we're going to ignore that this time. It's not like there's a law that says we can't do this. It's just our own guideline. So we're going to just forget about that guideline for right now. And, you know, I mean, it's happened to me. You know how they get away with it? It's hysterical. I actually had, when I was working at a pet store, a local pet store, I found out I was losing my job. And they're like, oh, you've been, hey, Becky, you know, you were having a layoff and you're being laid off. I'm like, really? I'm like, did I do something wrong? I'm like, no, we're just, there's no, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, but we've got to let some people go. And so, you know, you were one of the people that was chosen. I said, really? Oh, okay. Well, bear in mind, at this point, I had been with this company for about 8 months. There were several employees there who had been there less time than I had. And I said, gee, I wonder how many people are getting fired. So I went to one of my friends who's a manager. It was interesting. This store, actually, except for one manager who was like a complete asshole, every other manager in the store and was gay or lesbian, which was kind of weird. And then there was me, you know. And so I went to one of my friends. I went to the customer service manager who was a lesbian, a friend of mine. And I went to her and I said, yeah, hey, Pam, who else is getting laid off besides me? And she was like very noncommittal, and she was very uncomfortable with the question. I'm like, what's the problem? And she's like, I'm not allowed to tell you. I said, Pam, come on, this is my job. I need to know what's going on here. And she's like, she says to me, I'm not allowed to tell you. She says, but you know what? Give me a minute. Stay right here for a minute. She walks into the office, which has a door and a key, and it's a small office where the manager and the assistant manager usually work. She walks into the office, and she comes back out a minute later. She hands me a key. So this is the key of the office. I have to go into the back and do some work. While I'm there, you know, I think I left my pen in the office. If you could go in there and get it for me, I'd really appreciate it. And then, you know, I'll see you. I'll be back in a little while. So obviously, I'm the idiot. She wants me to go into that office. I go into the office, and there's a memo on the desk, a printed out memo. And I look at the memo, and it is. It's exactly what I thought it was. It was a memo of a layoff with the list of people to be laid off. One, me. No reason given, just that our district manager had decided that they didn't need me. Me, specifically. Not we didn't need X number of cashiers, not we didn't need this many employees, it's we don't need you. It's you we don't want. And again, I had a stellar work record there. I had never had a problem, never missed a shift. You know, it was, the problem was the district manager was a guy that they imported from the company headquarters in Arizona. Well, Arizona at the time, and still as far as I know, has no civil rights laws for LGBT people.
Yep.
This guy came, he knew everybody in the store. He was friendly with everybody in the store, except me. He wouldn't talk to me. He was like afraid of me. He would approach me. He would look over his shoulder and move somewhere else. I mean, he literally avoided me. And it became obvious to the point where people were noticing and like, what's going on there? I'm like, don't look at me. I don't know. Well, I mean, I had an idea, but, you know, and then sure enough, you know, they waited long enough and then they called it a layoff. What it was they wanted to fire me for being trans. Because they didn't want a trans person there. Or he wanted to fire me. But that's illegal in New Jersey. You can't do that. So they just said, well, it's a layoff. Which means, and in a way, they got rid of me in a way that A, it was like, they from their perspective, was no harm, no foul. You know, well, yeah, we fired you, but we also... you know, it's like an honorable discharge. Yeah, we didn't have any problems with your work. We just don't want you here. All right. Oh, I see. Mr. Mike is gently nudging me that it is time for a break. And we have got one of our favorites on this show all the time, Nobbly Brennett, and we will catch you in about five.
Twisting like a melody and spinning like a top. Honeybee, honeybee, honeybee. Honeybee, honeybee, honeybee. Honeybee, honeybee, honeybee.
Let's get out of here. Look, Emerald City is closer and prettier than ever.
You're out of the woods, you're out of the dark, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light.
You won.
Thanks for sticking around. And, wow, you know, there was another thing I wanted to talk about tonight. I was talking earlier, if you were tuned in a couple minutes early to the show, you know that I said that I had some big news about a member of our community who has taken a career step. It turns out Dr. Dana Beyer is running for the Maryland State Senate. And this, I think, is pretty awesome. Dana, as you know, has been on the show several times, always a great guest, always has got something to say, always willing to get into it with me, which is something that I respect greatly and appreciate greatly, because, you know, she knows her stuff. And, you know, we don't always agree on stuff, but we don't, you know, I think if I was somebody who lived in Maryland and Montgomery County, I would be very comfortable with her representing my interests. You know, again, I don't live in Montgomery County. I don't know the specific issues that they are facing in that particular area. However, I do believe she is a quality candidate. And I think, when you have people who are trying to break down that glass ceiling and become one of the first transgender elected officials in the country, I think I think she is as the best candidate we have at this time. I mean, who knows? I mean, there could be some else out there, but I mean, as far as I know, she is as well qualified as it gets. So I was kind of hoping to get her on the show tonight, but unfortunately she didn't get back in touch with me in time, and so, well. Hopefully maybe next week or maybe the week after. We'll see what happens. Now, she's run for the House of Delegates before. Now, you got to remember, in Maryland, those of you who are not familiar, Maryland does not have, most states have a state Senate, a state Assembly. like we do here in New Jersey. I believe New York has that too. In Maryland, they have a state senate and a House of Delegates. So Dana has tried to run a couple of times for the House of Delegates, and she lost in 2006 and 2010. Now, the guy who she's looking to replace is this guy, let's see, what is his name? Richard Maddaleno. Now, he is the only openly gay member in the state senate. Now, this is interesting, and this is something I really wanted to ask her about, because this is the first time I've ever heard of something like this happening. Is an openly gay man versus a trans woman? I mean, this is not something that happens every day in modern politics, at least not yet, anyway. Maddaleno, I don't know. You know, what I would love to know from Dana, and what I was hoping to ask her tonight, what does she have that this guy doesn't have? What did he do? Because I don't know. I don't understand Maryland politics, you know, as well as maybe someone else does. So I would like to know, you know, usually when you go up against somebody, it's not just that you want the seat. It's because this person is not doing a good enough job and you think you can do a better job. So what I would love to ask Dana is, what has she got that this guy doesn't have? Okay, because let's be honest, there are going to be a lot of people who support this guy because he's openly gay. But the reality is just like being a member of a minority or being black or being Jewish or being Christian or being white or being Hispanic isn't going to qualify you for a political office in and of itself. You got to have a little more there. It's, you know, okay, it's important that we have women and black people and blah, 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 blah in our elected officials, but it's got to be not just you're black, it's you're black and you're qualified, it's you're Hispanic and you qualified, and you're a leader who happens to be Jewish, and a leader and a qualified candidate who happens to be Hispanic or whatever the minority may be. You know, that's really the part. And for me, I get into a lot of trouble with this, you know, because I say things like, you know, I don't like this particular candidate. And they say, oh, you don't like them because they're black. It's like, no, I don't like them because they haven't given me any reason to say, well, why are you better than this guy over here? Don't tell me it's because you're black. Because you know what? When I'm voting on the issues, I don't give a shit if you're black. I really don't. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're Hispanic. What I do care about is, how are you going to address the issues that matter in my life? How are you going to represent my interests? Ooh, let me see. Woo. I just got an email from the lady we happen to be talking about right now. Let's see. No, it's not going to happen tonight. She says she's sorry she missed it. She's like, just back online. I have a very busy day of meetings and phone calls. I'm in an event right now. Happy to show up in the future. Okay, so I'm going to see. Maybe we can get her for next week.
Great.
Because she's awesome. I love her. You know, like I said, we don't agree a lot on certain things. But, you know, again, I don't agree with everybody all the time, except maybe me. You know, I'm not worried about that. But there's so much good stuff, because I think, I really do believe that Dana running for this, not just, I mean, she's made a couple of attempts before, but I'm thinking, maybe this time, maybe now. And, you know, let's not fool ourselves and say, well, maybe the country is ready for this. No. Please. The country has been ready. Okay? What's not ready is certain areas of our country, okay, where it doesn't matter if you are trans because you're not getting elected. Just like it doesn't matter if you're gay or black or non-Christian, you're not getting elected. You know? I mean, you think a black guy's going to win statewide office in, let's say, Ohio? Yeah, okay, they have one Hispanic Hispanic legislator in Idaho. What's his name? Raul Labrador, that Republican guy. Okay, one Hispanic. The rest of their entire delegation, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm not certain of this, but I'm pretty certain it's all white men. You know, I mean, it's hysterical because you look at like for example, you look at the House, and you see the people who are on all the committees. It's just all white guys, because of course that's 90% of who's there. You know, it's hysterical. They send out Kathy McMorris Rogers to do a response to the State of the Union. But, I mean, you look every time you see these, they call out Obama because they show a picture of him with his closest staff, and they're all men. In reality, Valerie Jarrett was in the picture, but she was blocked by somebody else. So all you saw, if you look carefully, was her leg. You could see her leg if you looked carefully. Okay, but, you know, the Republicans trashed him. Oh, it's lack of diversity. Blah, blah, blah. But you look at the committees that these people field, and it's like, you have got to be joking. You have the nerve to call out Obama for a lack of diversity? You know, you see, that's the thing. I mean, I am the first person to call out Democrats when I've got a problem with Democrats. I mean, I do it all the time. I probably spend more time complaining about Democrats than I do about Republicans. Why? Because Democrats are supposed to know better. They're supposed to be the good guys. They're supposed to be the solution, not the problem. I mean, really. That's the problem. They're supposed to be the good guys. So it's fair to hold them to a higher standard. I think, you know, if you want to be, you know, say, you know what, I'm not going to support this and openly do that, okay, you know, I mean, but then at least be honest about it, and so that then we can, you know, run against you and look to put you out of office and replace you with real progressive leaders, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem. You say, you know, this is not what I believe and I'm not going to support this. Absolutely fair. Then fine. Then be honest about it and prepare to be primaried. I mean, I think that's what we got to do. Because it's only when these people fear for their jobs that anything ever changes. It's only when we start cutting into their fundraising opportunities, into their ability to do their jobs, or at least pretend they're doing their jobs, to keep their seats, I should say, because doing their jobs is another issue entirely. Okay? Think about it. When did we see real change happen on LGBT issues in the last 10 years? When were the two moments when you really saw a major turning point where it looked like everything was going in one direction and then all of a sudden it made a U-turn into a direction that people wanted it to go but up until that point didn't have any reason to believe it was going to happen? Well, the first one was 2007, right? Okay, Barney Frank. Oh yeah, let's dump those trannies out of ENDA, right? Well, we protested. And we protested. And they did it, and it still didn't pass, and the Democrats got shredded over it, and people started showing up, what do you know, at HRC galas, and started saying, yeah, okay, Mr. Money-hungry Democratic congressman, you want to go talk to the rich donors in that HRC gala? You're going to have to walk past all of us working folks who are angry. And then when you're done walking past us, you see all those reporters over there? We're going to be talking to them about you. And when you walk in that door, you have just cast yourself as one of tonight's targets. So congratulations, Senator, Congressman. Walk in the door of that HRC gala and prepare to be shredded on the internet. Not 6 months before you're about to go before the voters. maybe it would be a better idea for you to suddenly have other plans that night. And that's exactly what happened. And some of these folks were very open about it. Christine Quinn from New York, Tom Amiano from San Francisco, Bevan Dufty. There's another guy, I forget his name. I don't remember. But anyway, you know, these folks just came out and said, yeah, I'm not going to this because I don't think that this is right. Basically, what we did was we made people pick sides. I think it's time to do that again. I think it's time for us to say you're either on the side of the working class or you're on the side of the rich folks. And yes, this is a war. Why? Because every time another gay marriage bill gets passed, another group of trans people gets kicked to the curb for another decade or two. That's why it's a war. Okay? And you know what? I'm sorry, but I don't give a fuck. Okay? Your marriage is not as important as my right to eat. Sorry. Sorry. No, it's not. Your right to save a few bucks on your taxes on April is not as important as my right and a trans person's right to come in out of the cold and have a bed to sleep in and have a place to live and have a job and have, be able to live the same kind of life and strive for the same kind of comforts and luxury and privilege that you enjoy every day. So do not lecture me about marriage. While there are people starving in the street, people who are being forced into sex work because you had to go first. Do not lecture me. Do not. Because every time a trans woman dies in the cold, every time a trans woman is murdered on the street, every time another trans person loses a job because somebody finds out or somebody is hired or a new manager takes over or the business is sold and the new guy decides, I don't want that working in my store. Every time that happens, that's another price. That's another trans person paying the price for same-sex marriage. And I am not kidding. I know. I know. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. And I'm saying it. Okay? Every time, look at New York. Look at Massachusetts. Look at New Hampshire. Look at Maryland. Every time gays score a big win on marriage, trans people get the shaft. Oh, no more money around. So, hey, sorry, too bad. You know, we only did, well, we did a gay bill this year. But, well, these aren't gay people, these are trans people. Well, we don't care. We're not doing it. Or then you get, like, guys like Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland, who says, you know, I think it would be a better idea to get my personal agenda on capital punishment enacted. So we're going to pull the rug out from under poor, oppressed trans people, cost them a bill in Maryland that would protect their civil rights so that we can get through my personal agenda of preventing capital punishment in my state and pass a bill that's going to affect no one for the next 20 years, probably, if ever. Because, you know, that's what our priority should be as a state. Worrying about some guy 20 years from now at the expense of our poorest and most oppressed citizens. What a hell of a governor, huh? What a guy. And you know what? When this guy declares his intention to run later this year or next year for president, remember this. Remember that the reason why trans people can still be fired, denied a hotel room, thrown out of their homes, denied a meal in a restaurant, a drink in a bar, public services, all in the state of Maryland. It's all Martin O'Malley's fault. It is direct consequence of his actions as governor. Remember that. Remember that when this guy comes to you in a year from now or a year and a half from now and asks you for your money and your vote. Remember that when you needed his vote, when you needed his support, he threw you under the bus to promote his own useless, pathetic agenda just to make a political point. And threw you and your family under the bus without a second thought in order to get it done. Remember that. And then when you're done remembering that, ask yourself if that's the kind of guy you want in the White House. We already have somebody like that in the White House. Do you really want another 8 years of silent Obama? Is that really what we want? Because you know what? It's not just Martin O'Malley. Okay. Would you think Hillary Clinton's going to be any better? Do you really? What indication have any of us heard to indicate that she would be better? And let's not forget, hang on. Let's not forget that you cannot count things that she said as Secretary of State, because in that case, she is not a politician speaking her mind. She is a representative of the Obama administration carrying out the president's agenda. Her job is to speak for the president, not for herself. When she is a candidate, she is speaking on her own. And the last two times we saw her address trans issues, the first time was when she was running for the Senate in New York, way back, over 10 years ago. At the time, the Sexual Orientation Non-Discrimination Act, SONDA, was being debated. And one of the things being debated at the time was transgender inclusion in that bill. And she was asked, as she was running, do you support transgender inclusion in SONDA? You know what she said? No. Why? Because no one in the gay and lesbian community asked her to. Okay, that was number one. Okay, and as scary as that gets even worse. The second time is in 2008 during the primary season. She went on Logo. Remember Logo back when they were good? You know, when they actually talked about LGBT people and like had, you know, like news and stuff instead of these stupid Bravo programs. Well, back in the days when Logo was actually a decent network and not just like this joke that it is today, they actually had a guy, they had a news guy who actually covered LGBT news and did a fairly good job of it, named Jason Bellini. Well, Jason Bellini interviewed Hillary Clinton and he asked her directly, do you support transgender inclusion in the Employment Non-Discrimination Act? Well, I'll tell you. I wish the tape of this was still available. Unfortunately, because Logo was degenerated into this Bravo queer stupidity thing that's not worth watching anymore. They don't have – it's not available anymore. But in any case, you watch this woman – twist herself into rhetorical knots such as I have never seen in my life. And it was obvious that what she was doing was trying to avoid getting caught on tape saying that she supported transgender equality and trans people's rights. Well, you know what? When that's the only bits of information I have to go on about what this person thinks about my civil rights, you want me to vote for that? Are you shitting me? Uh-uh. You, Hillary Clinton, you want my vote? You better start talking. You better tell me how you've evolved on this. Personally, as a leader, as a potential president, not as Secretary of State. Don't talk to me about Secretary of State. You were working for that other guy. I want to know what you think. If you want to be the person in charge, tell me what your policies are going to be. How will you lead? Don't tell me about how you led when the other guy was pulling your strings. Tell me about what you're going to do. Because the only two clues that I have right now are, A, I'm so clueless that I think that the trans people are part of the gay community are all gay, and the gay people should be gatekeepers for trans people, which is so backwards and ridiculous you want to throw up. And the other one is, oh my God, they're asking me a question. I'm going to just like totally avoid the answer because it's inconvenient for me politically. In 2008. That scares me. Anyone that backwards on trans issues, I don't feel comfortable supporting. So, you know what? She's got plenty of time to disabuse me of that notion. I mean, you want me to believe that you have a different belief system now, Hillary Clinton? Fine. Tell me. Talk to me. Address the issue. Now, let's be honest. It's 2014. If she runs, we're not going to hear this until at minimum late this year, early next year, more likely. Okay? If she runs. So asking for her to expound on specific issues at this point, she's not going to do it because she's not running yet. Time to get into the issues is when you're running. And I, you know, come on. We all live in the real world and we don't expect. But you know what? I'll tell you, I cannot comfortably support, as a trans woman, I am not comfortable supporting Hillary Clinton because based on what I know of her and her positions on the issues that matter most in my life, I don't believe she has my interests at heart or the interests of my community. I believe that 8 years of Hillary Clinton is going to be another 8 years of silence on trans issues, just like Barack Obama. And you know what? Maybe it's because I'm getting a little older. I'm over 50 now. But if it's all the same to you folks in Washington, I would like my civil rights while I'm still young enough to enjoy them. Thank you. And you know what? With Hillary Clinton in charge, I don't see a way for me to get them. I really don't. At least not at this point. All right, it is time for our final break, and we have got the amazing, utterly amazing, our good buddy, who we wish would come back on the show, Jane County and the Warhols. Oh, I love her band names. It's a lovely song about Rush Limbaugh called Rush the Magic Crackhead. Always good stuff, and we will catch you in about 4 or 5, gang.
Rush the Magic Crackhead. Rush the Magic Crackhead.
We're talking about some real sick stuff here. Man on man, hairy baby BDSM, bottoms acting like tops, tops acting like bottoms. It's just the whole world gone topsy-turvy.
Q1.
So, Becky, you got a weird Russian guy who's really, really happy, but what in the world is he so effing happy
sure
about?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm sure I don't know, but, you know, it's interesting. You just sent me an article that I thought was very interesting. The Sochi Olympic Village is half built and full of trash.
Yes, and the pictures look amazingly horrible. Look at that. It's just awful.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a garbage dump. Garbage dump, you know. I mean, don't forget, Russia, although they won't, you know, they don't hear a lot of the talk, is a very depressed, economically depressed country.
Right.
They really don't have, I mean, I think that, yeah, they're spending billions on the Olympics. But the reason they're spending billions on the Olympics is because Putin wants it, because this is Putin's baby. You know,
yep.
And I just, you know, unfortunately, I think as Obama has discovered, your force of personality can get you just so far. And I think what's going on here is that the Russians are just operating in the way that Russians do with this level of bureaucracy. And shit just didn't get done because...
And corruption, too. You know. It's a very corrupt system.
Yeah, exactly. Not that ours is any great shakes. I mean, please, hello, I live in New Jersey, so,
yes.
You know, I'm not exactly, we're not exactly a bastion of stellar politics here. I mean, my God, I tell you, we've got a few minutes. Chris Christie, I swear to God, man, the hits just keep on coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, every time you think this is finally starting to wind itself down, they find out something else. It's hysterical. It's interesting because I think, and I'm saying this as somebody, I've lived in New Jersey almost all of my adult life. Okay. I grew up here. I moved to New York when I was a young adult, when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, 21. I lived in New York. 22 to 23, I lived in Atlantic City, which is also, of course, New Jersey, for those of you not familiar with New Jersey geography. But I spent all but 3 years of my life, I have lived in New Jersey. So I know the politics pretty well. I came of age here as a trans person. You know, And the thing is this is the way, I mean, this is not that shocking. It really isn't, okay? I mean, to give you an example, the town that I live in is a nice suburban town. We're about an hour outside of New York. We're about an hour outside of Philly. So we're very popular as what they call bedroom community. People go live here, are nice houses. It's a nice suburban area, and they commute into one of the two cities every day. We have trains that you can pick up trains that go in both directions here. Okay, now, if you're going to Philly, you got to change in Trenton to another train, but it's a pretty straight run. New York, you hop on the train, takes you straight into downtown Manhattan. Midtown Manhattan, I should say. But that's the reality. And here in New Jersey, okay, I mean, for example, if you've got a developer, if you're a real estate developer, you want to develop, you've got property that you can build on, and you want to build a housing development. Well, but let's say you need a variance for your development, or you need clearance, you need permits, you need all the stuff that the town has to provide in order for you to build your housing development. So what do? Well, basically what happens is the housing development will make a very large donation to the local Democratic Party. And they'll also make a very small donation to the local Republican Party. But the reality is unless that donation comes through, and nobody is going to turn around and go quid pro quo, spit it out, Becky. Nobody's going to talk, but the reality is you want those permits, you want those variances, you're going to make that donation. Because if you don't make that donation, those permits and those variances are not going to appear. It's just that's the way these things work. Okay? I mean, you want to get on the ballot, you want to do something, you got to go to the local boss and ask him if you want to do anything political in the state. That's the way these things work. So when people hear that Chris Christie is like playing these kind of soprano games, you know, give me what I want, or you're not getting, you know, the funding, or you're not getting this, or this kind of thing. People say, yeah, okay, it sucks, but, you know, this is what it is. This is New Jersey politics. This is what's done. But when you fuck with people's drive to work, when you fuck with the commute, when you go and you start doing things that people, you can't even come up with good reasons for doing. You're just doing it to punish people indiscriminately. That's when people are like, you know what? You guys in Trenton can go fucking kill yourselves for all we care. Do not fuck with my commute. I have to be at work at 9 o'clock. That's the New Jersey attitude. Okay? Because those of us in New Jersey, especially those of us who have to commute every day to work, and I'm not doing it at the moment, but I do it. I have done it. I will do it again, I'm sure. Those people aren't going to want to hear your bullshit. They're just not. You guys can beat the crap out of each other in Trenton all you want. Do not fuck with my ride to work. Do not fuck with my kids getting to school. Do not fuck with my wife getting to her job. Or, you know what I mean? That's where... And what's interesting is that Christie, okay, built up a lot of goodwill with Sandy. According to the polls, he's basically lost it all. It's all back. He had this huge bump, and it's right back to where he was. Because people are like, oh, wait, oh, we thought he was different. Oh, well, wait, I guess not. Okay, you know. I mean, seriously. That's what it is. And that's where I think he's doomed. Okay? Yes, he will survive in New Jersey. He will finish his term. I doubt he will get impeached. Unless it can be shown that he did something so extreme, so provable, so outrageous, that people can't, that somebody has to take action or it's not credible. He will finish his term. But I am telling you, he is finished as a national candidate. I am saying it. Anybody who wants to run against this guy now has all the ammunition they need. Oh, do we really want those soprano politics, New Jersey politics kind of thing? Yeah. I mean, they tried the same shit against Obama with the Chicago-style politics kind of crap. That didn't work with him. Okay, but then again, Obama was not in the news every 10 minutes because he was never a governor. You know, see, that's the problem. Governors, generally speaking, are better positioned to become president because, well, I mean, they've been in charge of something. Bill Clinton, George Bush, okay, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, you know, list goes on and on and on. Governors tend to have a leg up on the rest of the pack. But here's the thing. That's the good part of being a governor who is a candidate for president. The bad part is that you have a record as a leader. And so you've got your opponent has a lot more ammunition that they can use because they can say, hey, look, let's take a look at what this person was like when they were actually in charge of something. So if you were a good governor, well, then that may be to your advantage. And if you were a lousy governor, well, maybe not. See, and that's the problem right there. So I have to tell you, I think Chris Christie, I mean, all they have to do is start running clips. You know, I was the guy with the cones. Remember that one? Okay? I mean, that's the problem. Chris Christie shot his mouth off before he had all the facts. I mean, that's what it is. You can dress it up any way you want. But the problem with Chris Christie, the reason why he will never be president, is forget all the stuff, forget everything else. He shot his mouth off before he had all the facts, was proven wrong, had to walk it all back, and now he looks like an incompetent idiot. And you know what? You combine that perception of being an incompetent idiot with the reality that evangelicals and the far right are never going to vote for this guy in a million years because he committed the cardinal sin of making nice with Obama. And, you know, he didn't fight hard enough against gay marriage. He didn't, like, you know, fall on his sword or something or whatever it is that they expected him to do. Personally, I think he did, you know, politically, from political position, he did exactly the smartest thing, was he just got the hell out of that fight because he knew he was going to lose it. Don't forget, the man was U.S. attorney before he was governor. He knows a losing case when he sees one. And he knew. He knew that he was going to lose that battle and that there was nothing he could do. You know, all he would do is make himself look worse. And he would probably do himself more damage by fighting and losing than he would by just giving up. But the reality is by giving up, you guarantee that the evangelicals will never vote for you in a million years. And right now, the way the Republican Party is today, now, it is not possible to win an election without evangelicals on your side. Not a primary, and probably not a full election in many of the redder states that are out there. You know, in the Alabamas and the Idahos and the Iowas and those kind of states. I mean, don't forget where red state America is. Who got the nomination? Who won the Iowa straw poll? Remember? Rick Santorum. That's where these people are now. Which is great if you're a Democrat. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure Hillary Clinton, if she's deciding she's going to run, would love to run against a Santorum. Because this guy is so far out of the mainstream, she don't even, I mean, you know, she could take weeks off. You know, she could just go on vacation for 8 months and she'd still win. You know what I mean? I don't see how Republicans see themselves winning this. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's interesting to me that when this guy came out, there was, I forget his name, but the guy who came out and said nasty things about Muslims. You know, I it was so funny. I had all this stuff ready to go tonight, and my browser crashed earlier, so I lost all the pages that I had open, and unfortunately, so I'm trying to do some of this stuff from memory. I can't find it. I'm trying to look up this stuff, recapture this stuff while I'm looking for it, but I'm not finding it. So, but the reality is that they've got nobody. They really don't. They really have no one. I mean, and that's the problem. They really don't have a credible candidate. I mean, who are they going to run? Rand Paul? Are you shitting me? He's like practically a joke now. Let's see. Who else have they got? I mean, really. Who do they have? Dick Cheney? He ain't running. You know, I don't see who they have. Rubio? You know, I mean, who do they have? And let's be honest. I mean, Rubio, I mean, might be the most possible. But the truth is, the Republican Party isn't voting for a Hispanic for president. It ain't happening. If they wouldn't vote for Obama, what makes you think they're voting for a Hispanic? Are you serious? And that's what's going to happen, is if somebody like Rubio gets the nomination, what you're going to find is the Republicans basically bigot themselves into irrelevance. I mean, it'll be great for us, but I don't think the Republican Party is really that stupid. They're just going to have to find some conservative white guy who's willing to, like, you know, be beaten up by Hillary Clinton for 8 months. I mean, because they ain't going to win. They're not winning this one. I mean, you know, personally, and I've said this before, the one candidate who I'm confident that I would vote for, actually there are two candidates, one who has said he will run, Bernie Sanders, who is, I should point out, a socialist, yes, a real bona fide socialist, and, you know, he's an independent. He has said he would run if a real progressive does not present themselves by the time. I would vote for him in a heartbeat. I would vote for Joe Biden. I think he's a much better candidate. He's already come out in favor of trans rights. He's kind of like similar to Obama, but I think he's a little bit more willing to go out on a limb. He's a little bit more honest. He's a little bit more direct. I like that. Now, if I had my choice, if I could like wave Becky's magic wand and just have the candidate who I absolutely would most want, you know, if I were you know, queen of the world and had my magic fairy wand that could change the world, I would want Elizabeth Warren. Oh, are you kidding? Oh, be still my heart. I mean, there's somebody who really just makes so much sense. You know, I mean, I'd love to see Cory Booker run, but that ain't happening. He's too young. He's younger than Obama. Don't forget. and he's I don't think he's insane enough to run against Hillary Clinton. Because Hillary, he's well known. Yeah, he's popular. Yeah. But he ain't ready to compete with Hillary. Not even sure he's ready to compete with Joe Biden, much less Hillary. Honestly. I mean, let's be honest here. You know? Now, that's the thing. I mean, there are Democrats. There's several good people who could run. I mean, but the reality is, I mean, if you pay at all attention to the media, you know that pretty much if Hillary runs, she's going to sail to the nomination. Or at least that's what we believe today. Just like we believed it at the same time, we believed that in January 2006, didn't we? And guess what? That didn't quite work out, did it? So I would caution people against making assumptions. I mean, forget everything else. I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, Hillary Clinton, God, not that I'd wish this on anybody at all, ever. But let's be realistic. I mean, she could have a heart attack tomorrow. Who the hell knows? You know, I mean, you can't. It's way too early to presume such things. You know, I caution people because we got trapped into that shit last time. And we found out, guess what? You know, she really wasn't the best candidate. There were a lot of people that wanted her. That didn't mean she was the best candidate. And I think the same remains true today. You know, now let's see. Well, we've got a few more minutes. There was a story out of Maine. This comes to us from the AP. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court on Thursday, I guess meeting today, reversed a lower court decision that banned a transgender child from using the girls' bathroom in Orono schools. I guess it's Orono, Maine. In a 5-1 decision, the justices said the Superior Court Justice William Anderson erred when he ruled in favor of what is now Riverside RSU 26. Our opinion must not be read. This is quoting from the decision. Our opinion must not be read to require schools to permit casual access to any bathroom of their choice, Judge Warren Silver wrote for the majority. Decisions about how to address students' legitimate gender identity issues are not to be taken lightly. Where, as here, it has clearly been established that a student's psychological well-being and educational success depend on being permitted to use the communal bathroom consistent with her gender identity, denying access to the appropriate bathroom constitutes sexual orientation discrimination in violation of the Maine Human Rights Commission. Now, I have to tell you, on the one hand, I think it's great, and there's a lot more to this article, which I'll get to in a minute, but I find, on the one hand, I think it's great that they handed down this decision. But when I read something like this, I wonder, and I wonder if it's just the legal terminology or if it's a genuine misunderstanding. When I read something like denying access to the appropriate bathroom constitutes sexual orientation discrimination in violation of the Maine Human Rights Commission. Now, as we know, those of us who are, those of you who are listening to this show, no doubt know, being transgender is not a sexual orientation. So what I'm trying to figure out is that this judge or these judges don't understand what sexual orientation is, really, and they're just lumping it in, or... And I don't know, because again, not a lawyer here. I'm wondering if maybe that it's legally, that gender identity is legally defined as sexual orientation under the laws of Maine. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer again, you know. But that concerns me, because if they made a decision based on a misunderstanding of sexual orientation, well, that could be subject to review and being overturned down the road. So that concerns me. Now, according back to the article, the incident that sparked the court case began in 2007 when a child who was born male but identifies as female was forced to stop using the girls' bathroom at Asa Adams Elementary School in Orono. She was told to use the staff bathroom after the grandfather of a male student complained. What? First of all, not a parent. Second of all, male student. What the fuck does this guy have anything to say about this? I mean, I don't get that. Continuing on. Gay and lesbian advocates and defenders of Boston, in other words, the single A Glad from Boston, represented the girl and her family. This is a momentous decision that marks a huge breakthrough for transgender young people, said Jennifer Levi, director of Glad's Transgender Rights Project, who argued the case before the justices last year. Schools have a responsibility to create a learning environment that meets and balances the needs of all kids and allows every student to succeed. For transgender students, this includes access to all school facilities, programs, and extracurricular activities in a way that is consistent with their gender identity. A transgender girl is a girl and must be treated as such in all respects, including using the girls' restroom. This ruling is consistent with what educators and human rights commissions, including the Maine Human Rights Commission, around country have concluded, said GLAAD senior attorney Bennett Klein, who was co-counsel with Levi in the case. So, basically, what they're saying here is that, you know, this is a girl. She is a girl under the laws of the state of Maine, and she must be treated as such. Which is great, but I still am concerned, and I don't know, and I'll see if maybe I can find somebody. I've been wanting to get Mason Davis on the show. Mason Davis, of course, is the Transgender Law Center. Met him when I went out to Netroots Nation last year. He's a really good guy. I'm going to try and get him on the show. Maybe I'll ask him. Because I find myself saying on this show a lot, as you know, if you're a regular, I'm not a lawyer. And I'm not a lawyer. And so I try to avoid making legal assessments. I can say, well, here's what I think. I can say, well, you know, here's what makes sense to me. But that's not the same as saying, here's what the law is. And that part is not really something that usually I am qualified to expound upon. People are private messaging. People are instant messaging me. You know, here's the thing. I always tell all my friends, I say everything, look, I do this show on Thursday nights. Do not call me. Do not message me. Leave me alone. Okay? I am not available between, basically 4 in the afternoon here because I start preparing the show at about 3 hours before showtime. Do not bother to contact me between 4 and 9, my time. Well, so, you know, at 10 minutes to 9, I'm starting to get instant messages. It's like, did you hear about the 9 part? Do you remember the on-air part? It's like, no, I'm not going to talk to you now. I'm still on the air. Leave me alone.
Oh, it's all right. It's not a problem. And by the way, would you like a lozenge?
Yeah, I know. Yes. I don't know. I think I blew out a vocal cord tonight or
something's
something.
Something's going on there.
Yeah, I ran out of water, and so I'm just trying to get through the last couple of minutes here without sounding like Lynn Samuels or something.
Oh, I love Lynn Samuels. Poor dear, she's no longer with us, but she was such a great talker.
Good. That doesn't mean I necessarily want to have the same vocal quality as she does.
And you certainly don't want to pass away like she did either.
No.
Inconvenient.
But in any case, So I mean, like I say, my voice is pretty much saying, to me, you can keep going, but I'm shutting down for the night, so you better wrap it up, dude. Well, not a dude either, but, I still talk like that. I can't help it. I have a friend who I yell at all the time because he still calls me dude. I mean, called me dude when I was 20 years old, which, of course, when I was 20 years old, it's fair to call. He refused to stop. And it's just kind of this thing that, I just tolerate because, you don't end friendships over stuff like that. I mean, unless it's malicious, and it's not. And it's just a friend who's like, fuck you. This is me. I'm going to do it. I don't care.
He hasn't noticed the breasts yet?
Well, it's the way we worked that one out. I said, when we're alone or among close friends, you can say whatever the fuck you want. If you do that to me in public, I will hurt you. That was my resolution to that. All right, okay, I'll tolerate it because you're my close friend and because you're doing it around people, and I'm not fooling any of my close friends. It's they all know the deal. So I don't particularly care in that situation. But you do this to me while I'm in public, and then I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to have to hurt you. And so, oh my goodness, we're almost out of time. Oh my goodness. Boy, we got about a minute. So I want to let people know we will be doing a show next week. I am hoping to get Dana Buyer. I will be contacting her directly after the show because I know she has emailed me. Honestly, it's not her fault. I didn't find out about her Senate run until this morning, so I wrote her immediately. But, please. People have lives. I'm certainly not, she couldn't make it. So, next week, hopefully. The week after, Mara Kiesling. That'll be the 13th, our show on the 13th. That's Mara Kiesling. Plenty of stuff to get into with Mara. Always a good conversation. So look forward to that. don't know. I guess we're about time to wrap this thing up. And also, of course, as always, we will be rerunning the show in about 3 minutes or so after a lovely musical interlude from Mr. Mike. So if you didn't catch everything, stick around for that. Look out for podcasts. They'll be coming as soon as Mr. Mike gets them up. And we will catch you next week. Have a good night, everybody.